Join us now for an encouraging word from a member of our teaching team. Here's the message.
We have a God who has taught us to love by showing us and being the example for that. His love has changed our life. Amen? His love, His forgiveness, His mercy has changed us. So why do we fall out of love? Well, there's several reasons. The top 10, and we're not going to go into detail on these today, but we stop communicating. These have to do with one another. It has to do with your relationship with the Lord. Number 2, we take each other for granted. Expectations aren't met. We discover something new, something negative about our partner. Number 5, overwhelming jealousy sometimes takes over, and most of our jealousy is ungodly jealousy. It's fear and insecurities. It's not God's kind of jealousy, wanting the best for someone. Number 6, the relationship wasn't built on a solid foundation to begin with. Number 7, and that leads into what people call incompatibility, which I guess most breakups, they just, if you can't figure something out, that's what you say. We're just incompatible. Number 8, boredom. Number 9, a major life event changed things. And number 10, well, it just wasn't love in the first place. Love is something that God has put in our hearts. He has changed us. He's the author of that. That is His name. But we've taken it and we've turned it around. We try to sing about it, but our words are messed up. You know, there's a million songs about love, but it's really not. Most of it's about lust and about, you better make me happy when I tell you to make me happy or I'm going to leave you and the dog. Or something like that. But the church also begins, because of the pressures of the world and a few items that Jesus begins to define, Jesus begins to talk to the early church and warning them that you better guard your hearts because you can fall out of love. In Revelation chapter 2, we see the letters that Jesus wrote to the churches, the early churches, and He says, to the angel or to the messenger or the pastor leader of the church in Ephesus, I write, these are the words of Him who holds the 7 stars in His right hand, and He walks among the 7 golden lampstands. It just simply, the Lord walks among us. This is not just a good social club. We are here to worship the Almighty. We are here to interact with our Creator. And He's here. He's here. Verse number 2, Jesus says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people. He just begins to build them up like a good teacher, a good coach, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. You have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Those are good things. And like any good teacher or good coach or good mentor, you're going to build up the person and talk about good things, what they're doing right. Don't hang around people. The only thing they can talk about is how you're doing everything wrong. That's not a good person to hang around. Hang around people that can build you up and encourage you. But then at the same time, if they need to speak a hard word to you, they have the liberty to do that. And that's what a good coach or teacher is. I had many a good coaches and teachers look at me and said, you know, you're really doing good, but you can really do a lot better, you know? And we've all had that, and they've all propelled us to be better than we thought we could be. And so Jesus does the same thing. He says, you've done this right and this right and this right. I'm proud of you, but I have this against you. Not because He hates us, not because, oh, well, we can't make it. Folks, none of us can make it without the grace and mercy of the Lord. None of us can. Man, I'm telling you, this life is an adventure, and I'm glad we have a Savior. I'm glad I have a Savior. We don't place excellence before the Dickinson League City area. We place failure and how God has helped us through this and this and this. Come on now. Because people we want in here, they're broken. They've gone through all kinds of trials, all kinds of social mess-ups, and they need to know that they're loved. But at the same time, we're going to challenge them with the truth. That's what Jesus does. Jesus comes with grace and truth. You come to somebody with only grace, it's going to be really sloppy really quick. If you come to somebody with only truth, you're going to condemn them and you're going to drive them out of here really quick. But that combination where we can grow together and love the Lord and He challenges us and we honor and respect the pastor's word when he brings it, and man, I may leave here encouraged and I may leave here with all 10 of my toes broken. That's a shepherd. Because I know after he breaks my toes, he's going to hold me and help me fix them up again. And Jesus says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you, remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And so he ends again with something positive. But he says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have the opportunity to listen today. We have the opportunity to listen to God's voice today. How do you know if someone is giving you their attention? Have you ever talked to someone or visited with somebody and they in another world? They checking their Facebook status. I know it. They're checking to see if there's just one person out there that likes them. They're not with you. Then, you know, number one, you know if someone is listening to, if they give you their time. Number two, if they give you their eyes. This is the point in the message. Everybody goes, oh, great, now I got to look at him the whole time. I know many of you are not checking your Facebook posts this morning, your tweets and Twitters, and checking to see what our president has tweeted today. I understand that. You're taking notes, and I appreciate that. But we give people their eyes. Number three, we give them our attention. Number four, they're responding back to us in a way you can tell that they're listening. And by the way, I've not mastered all of these. I'm still working on it. Number five, is there a change? Number six, is there just a joy to be together? Something had happened in the church in Ephesus. There just wasn't a joy to go to church anymore. They had a good church, but there just wasn't a joy there. There wasn't really a joy for Ephesus anymore. Theologian Matthew Henry writes, and he says that the Apostle Paul started the church in Ephesus. Secondly, then Paul handed it off to the Apostle John. You know, we don't have those guys in our district. You know? We've got some great guys, but we can't say that the Apostle Paul, who started your church? Well, Paul did. Well, who took over from him? Well, the Apostle John, you know. Right after, you know, that, he went to the Isle of Patmos and he wrote the book of Revelation. And who's pastoring your church? And then probably third in line was Timothy, who the Apostle Paul mentored as a young teenager. They had a wonderful history. But something happened. You see, the enemy of our soul is fighting with all he can do to somehow get us to fall out of love with the Lord. And you and I cannot depend upon our history. You can't depend upon history to stay in love with the Lord. You can't depend upon your history to stay in love with one another. But something had happened in their history. They began to possibly, and I began to think, well, you know, nothing's really changed. Why do churches go through what churches go through? Why do churches sometimes open and then they close? Why do they do it? Well, something happened. The bottom line is somebody fell out of love with the Lord. You know, real life happens and we begin to blame God on stuff. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Turn to your neighbor and said, you're going to have trouble. Now, we want to encourage each other. But Jesus says, take heart, I've overcome the world. There's stuff that happens. And sometimes we begin to blame God and we begin to fall out of love with the Lord. And I know it doesn't happen here at Dominion. Everybody gets along like one perfect, happy family. But my family, most families I know, we're just the poster people for dysfunction. And sometimes I'm the cheerleader. You know, if your dysfunction is not my function, dysfunction, then you don't know how functional and dysfunctionality really works. And I don't even know what I just said. Sometimes in our mind, we think we have it all together. We don't have it together. None of us do. Just go to your house for Thanksgiving and we'll show you how it works. Real life happens. Real disappointments happen. And all of a sudden, you know that guy that invited me to church years ago and that we used to do all everything together? I just really don't like to hang around him anymore. You know, I might see him at church a little bit, but honey, I think we're going to sit on the other side today. I'm going to try the North Dominion Church sits right over here. North Central. This is North Central Dominion. You know, things happen and we fall out of love with one another. And then the very thing that we need to work through those things. We need to draw close to one another. We need to draw close to God. The very thing that's needed for growth in our own life, we begin to reject because it's just a little too tough. God's secret to a successful life, as Pastor Greg and I were visiting, and this scripture just came to my heart in Acts chapter 2, verses 38. And you know the following scriptures well. And Peter said, because this is where we are. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And I mean, everybody would go, amen. And yes, that's what we need to do. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, amen. And that's awesome. God's going to give us boldness to share our faith and to get outside of ourselves and to draw closer to Him. This promise is for you and your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this corrupt generation, this crooked generation. Those who believed and were baptized were added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That's a pretty good day's evangelistic effort. I don't know what we would do. Okay, tomorrow we have 3,000 people we need to service around here.
Come on.
Going to be work. It's going to be work for everybody. Going to be a lot of love. Going to be real messy. Oh, yeah. I remember one of my very close friends, he's with the Lord now. His church just exploded, did incredibly well, still does. And he was praying about ministering to a certain demographic in the Houston area. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you the demographic. There's a demographic of several thousand gypsies, Romanian gypsies, that call Houston their home. And it just broke this pastor's heart. There was a demographic that wasn't being reached. And he goes, Don, he said, I prayed with all of my heart. We need to reach them. And so all of a sudden, they begin to come. They begin to come. But as more of them came, the fewer hubcaps were left in the church parking lot after church. Oh, yeah, you want revival? Come on now. You're going to have to give it all up. Man, the people were stealing stuff. I mean, there was chaos going around the church. But Lord, we want to reach them. But we want them all cleaned and perfect when they come to our church. And all of a sudden, that love that he had for that demographic, he was on the front row and he was looking out there and he said, God, what have I prayed for? I am destroying my church because we're reaching the lost. And the Lord rebuked him. These people began to come. They began to get saved. The matriarchs and the patriarchs of the different groups, when one of them would come, 50 more would come because they didn't have a choice. We're going to church today. And everybody came. So it became a mess. But God blessed that church. And then there was another church started for them and their outreach. Ministry is messy. 3,000 people. And here's what they dedicated themselves to. There were 3,000 people that came. And they devoted themselves. Everybody say devoted. We want 3,000 people to come, but what do we have here to give them? What do we have to give one person that comes? What do we have to give a family that comes? We want them to be saved. We want them to be water baptized. We want them to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. But it can't stop right there. It's got to continue on. And here's how it is. This is the key to God's success in life. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We have to devote ourselves to God's word. Not what we feel it says, not what we want it to say, not something that's culturally relevant at the moment for convenience. We've got to humble ourselves and say, God, teach me. That's our mooring, and that's what people really want. You're going to be persecuted for it. So what? Welcome to the club. It's worth it. Number two, they not only devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, but here's what I want to key in. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the Greek word koinonia, fellowship. I've got to be with these people. I've got to be with them today. I cannot wait to get up and go up there, not just to hear Pastor Dina lead worship. I've got to go up there and be with them. They're my family. I'm going to learn from them. I'm going to rub shoulders with them. The over 30s are going to wipe out the younger 30s next Sunday. You don't know flag football until you see old guys play. That's my warning. You can post on Facebook the real results. I leaned over to Pastor Clint and I said, last year, a couple years ago, one of our pastors in the Rio Grande Valley, he's a Dallas Cowboy nut, and sometime in the year, they have a church thing against the younger guys, except it's full contact tackle football. That was exactly my response. I go, there's adjectives for you, brother. And I don't think you're walking with God right now. And then like the next day or two, I can't hardly walk. I said, you think? Some 18-year-old linebacker just pops your knees out from underneath you. Fixing to go play ball at Texas A&M. Oh, who are we playing today? Oh, the old guys. We got to use wisdom, brother. And then I do have a Ben Gay story, but I'm not sharing it. But they had to be together. Not just worshiping in a formal setting where we sing and we hear God's word. I've got to be up there, just hang out with them and laugh together. I've got to get out on that bay boat and fish a while with these guys that don't know. I've got to get in the van and go to some kind of men's event. I've got to spend time with them, because if that spending time, that casual time, is where discipleship is going to take place. Friend to friend. Whatever you enjoy doing it, giving it a purpose that I want people to go with me and enjoy that time together. To God's word, to fellowship, to sharing meals together. Historians, it could be about half and half. It's a debate. It could be the Lord's Supper. But I want there to be a spiritual element to everything that we do, and to prayer. Because if we don't join people to the Lord, we have failed them. If we only have good music to offer and good preaching and a good flag football game and they leave different, what have we done? We have got, our goal is we've got to connect them. We've got to connect them to a smaller group. We've got to connect them to a place where they can grow. And folks, you just cannot grow unless you have a smaller group to be a part of. It just can't happen. Jesus had 12. 11 and one traitor. He poured his life into those guys. He couldn't do it with just the thousands, although sometimes that's going to happen. You know, somebody says, well, what is that large church? I just can't get to know anybody. Look, you're not going to get to know but about 20 people anyway. I asked a pastor one time that I worked with, Brother Smith over in Baytown. I said, how many people can a pastor? He goes, I think about 20. We got to have leaders raise up to care for another 20. And another 20, and another house group, and another small group, and another discipleship group, and this. And a large church of thousands and thousands is just simply made up of hundreds of small groups. Hundreds of small churches. That's all a successful large church is. We have to. The small group is family and friends, and without it, it's learning to catch a ball but never be on a team. It's learning how to play an instrument but never getting the opportunity to be in a band or a choir or an orchestra. It's learning to teach but never have a student in your room. We're just a person admiring ourselves in the mirror, never sharing, never risking, never loving, never growing. It's a baby without parents, without a family, without a home. That's how important fellowship, koinonia fellowship is. Because we're all hurting. We're all going through different stuff at different ages of our life. My mom just turned 87 last week, and she has issues as an 87-year-old. You know, some you laugh at and some you cry about, but growing old's not for sissies. Can I hear an amen? There's really no old people in this room, but you know those other people. Those other people. Every group needs a fellowship group. And there's people hurting that are just married. There's people hurting that are just had children. What do I do with this thing here? There's people hurting that now have teenagers. There's people that have decisions when they're going through marriage issues. There's people that are growing old in their 50s and 60s. And how in the world did I get this old? And I've got to sign up for what? Through Medicare? I don't care. They don't care. Real issues that people need someone to talk about. And in the middle of that talking about real issues, then we pray together, we seek God together, we learn together, we grow close to God together, and then there's a home, there's a place for somebody else to come into. And I'm telling you, it spreads like wildfire. Because with it, there's love. And there's service. Got to find your place of service. Got to serve. That's what love does. A place of growth, of nurturing, to nurture and to be nurtured. A place of accountability. A place of family and a safe place for others to come, to share their needs and to grow and to know God. But you're going to have to wrestle with it because you and I don't have the capacity in ourselves to love with God's love. To serve with God's love. Sometimes we just get put out with ourselves. Nobody wants to hear my story. I'm of no use anymore. That's a lie. Sometimes we get put out with one another for various reasons, just real life stuff. And I'm just not going to go to church, and if I do, I'm just sitting in the back and I'm leaving before that last song is sung. No offense if you got to leave before the last song. I wasn't setting you up there. Just stuff happens. And if you're here being healed of things, that's good. We want you here. But at some point, you're going to have to get back involved again. God wants to use you. There's people that need to hear your story, that need to hear you. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to have to seek after God. Let Him renew that love for Him, for others in your heart, and then be poured out again. Jesus says it can be trouble or persecution. It can be the worries of life. It can be the deceitfulness of wealth. We begin to spend so much time on the temporary that we forget about the eternal. Jesus says in Matthew 24 that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I'm just tired of it. I just don't want to give anymore. You need to be renewed in the name of Jesus. The Lord wants to renew that love inside your heart. You say, well, you can't just manufacture it. You've just got to say, Lord, I need you. I need you and I need your help and I need you, Father. I need that love for you renewed. I need that my love for my brothers and sisters renewed. Because you see, the church in Ephesus, they began to hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. People that would come into the church and began to talk people into sinning with them. It's what it was. People that would come into church, the Nicolaitans, because they would say, well, God's grace is sufficient for my sin. I can live however I want. No more putting up walls against our sinful nature and doing daily battle. That's the Nicolaitans. Jesus commended them for hating the practices of the Nicolaitans. But somewhere down the line, they also begin to hate the Nicolaitans. They hated the sin. Somewhere down the line, they also hated sinners. somewhere down the line, because Paul started my church and John followed and Timothy did, and we've got a list of people that want to pastor our church. Somewhere down the line, they stopped loving God and serving God. Somewhere down the line, they stopped loving their community and serving their community. Somewhere down the line, they wanted their church to be pristine instead of a mess, because it's messy dealing with people. Somewhere down the line, we wanted our song sung, Pastor Greg. Somewhere down the line, I just got to, if you don't preach out of this particular translation of the Bible, it's just, I just can't come there anymore. I had a family leave my church in the hill country because I didn't say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. I just said, I'm sorry. I don't know. What do you say? I'm sorry. And they left. Somewhere down the line, they lost their love for God. They lost their love for the lost. And their church became just a heap of ruins. Because we can go there today. We can go there today and view some of these churches in Asia Minor and Ephesus and these towns in Laodicea. And it's just a pile of rocks. So in 300, 700, and 800 years, people are going to drive by on Calder Road. And what are they going to find? A restaurant. Because that's what will happen. Another outlet mall. So what will happen? Cabela's will buy you out just like they did Bass Pro. Or vice versa. Whoever bought who. Somebody bought somebody out. And they'll come by on a tour bus and they'll go, you know, 725 years ago there was a great church in this area. And there'll be a letter written about you in the history books. I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen today. And you know, it doesn't have to happen. If we'll love God daily, if we'll stay in the struggles daily, and if our musicians wouldn't mind coming at this time, if we'll stay in the daily battle of our own walk with God, but if you take the Lord for granted, if you take one another for granted, I'm telling you, there's not enough energy or money. This place will turn into a museum. Europe is filled with churches that are museums. Pretty places to go, incredible artwork, just buildings, but no life there, no worship of the Heavenly Father there, no more loving the hurting of their community, because at some point it just got a little too messy, and their love grew cold. Your love doesn't have to grow cold. It doesn't have to. Just receive the word of the Lord. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then say, Lord, I need your help. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you, God. We love you, Lord. And we need your help, Father, in the name of Jesus. We need your help, Father, and your anointing to burn out of our lives things that cause our love for you to grow cold. Things that cause our love for people to grow cold. Forgive us, God. Just, you begin to make it right with the Lord right now. Just begin to make it right. Lord, we need to desire you with all of our heart. And then that love will be renewed on a daily basis. Lord, I've been sitting back and I'm not involved because of past hurt. I need your help, Father. I need my love for you to be renewed. I need my love for people. Hurting, messy, hubcap stealing people to be renewed. They need to be loved. In Dominion, we've got to decide whether we love hubcaps more or people. Got to decide. Because the Lord is going to remove the lampstand of the church that does not represent Him correctly. And that's loving Him and loving one another. That lampstand is no longer light to a community. Their influence is gone. Let's don't allow that to happen. In the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and eye closed, I just want you to respond to this. If you're in the room and you've never given your life to the Lord, you need to know that He loves you and He wants to help you. He wants to save you. If you're here in this room and you want to surrender your life to the Lord, let me see your hand. Is there anybody in the house? Just leave it up just for a moment. Pastor, I need my love to be renewed. I've gone through some real life challenges, some real trouble, and I want my love for God and my love for humanity renewed with the passion that only Jesus can give. Let me see your hand. God wants to heal some people. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Are there any others? Are there any others? God wants to do some miracles of renewal right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Just everyone, please repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing distractions, for allowing hurts, for allowing disappointments to try to separate me from you, to try to separate me from the body of Christ. I love you, Lord. Renew my love. Ask him right now. Renew my love. Renew my love. Let's all stand together. And as our worship team begins to lead us, I would like those that feel comfortable to do so to begin to make your way to this front. And we're going to pray for some heart renewals. We're going to pray for some heart renewals in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray for some miracles to take place. And as we're praying for those heart renewals, God's going to heal some bodies. God's going to heal some bodies because God always does many more miracles than what we're praying for because he knows our hearts. So let's worship the Lord. And if you would like us to pray with you and agree with you, please come forward at this time.
I believe in you. Come on, sing that out. I believe. Singing that. Let it renew your spirit.
I believe in you.
Renew the belief that in God all things are possible.
You're the God of miracles.
That His love can manifest in this community.
I believe in you.
In ever increasing wickedness, His light overcomes.
You're the God of miracles.
In your situation, in your need, gone forth. I don't know about you. You know I don't cry much, but when he read Revelation 2 and he said, repent and do the things you first did when you came to know Christ, it pierced. Sometimes we can get so polished as believers through study, through scripture, through reading, that we lose the vigor, that we lose the zeal of our youth. Zeal without knowledge ain't good, but knowledge without zeal is just as bad. God, that you would renew our hearts, that you would renew our love. I speak that. Thank you so much for what a timely word it was for our church. For me personally, thank you. We want to just say, as we dismiss in prayer, as we go home and we start this week, my prayer is that you would be renewed, that the love that God has for you would be felt, and that the love you have for God would be strengthened. Today, if you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, maybe for the first time, maybe this is something that you've renewed in your life today. We want to pray with you before you leave. Before you get in your car and go home, we want to pray with you in these altars. So we'll be here at the conclusion of my prayer. And we want to just encourage you, if you would like to give into the ministry of Don and Beth, our ushers are going to be standing at the door with an offering bucket. You can make your check out to Dominion Church. You can drop off cash. You can do whatever you would like, but 100% of that is going to go into this ministry that goes around our state and around our country and around the world. We bless you. Thank you so much, and we look forward to next service of you ministering. And I also want to say, I see Larry in the back, Mr. Ledford, what an honor and a privilege it was for Pastor and myself to be with you and your family this week as your mom went home to be with the Lord. And as a community and a fellowship, we love you. And what an awesome day it was to celebrate your mom. And we pray for you and your family. Why don't we do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Just wrap around the Ledford family. Continue to minister to them. And Father, to us, Lord, as a whole, God, as a body, as a fellowship, God, let us not forsake our first love. Let us not be held accountable for that. But Lord Jesus, may you renew our love for you all over again. Today, we praise you. We give you all the honor, all the glory as we go. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. If you made a decision for Christ, come. We would love to pray with you.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.